In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our topic for tonight will be the gift of peace. And the Lord Jesus have mentioned in John 14:27 that His peace is going to give to us. My peace I give to you. Peace, of course, is very much needed in these days, in this troubled world which we are living in. In the Webster's Dictionary, it defines peace as a state of physical or mental tranquility, calmness, serenity, and absence of war. This is the definition of peace. What does the Bible say about peace? Peace is found by focusing on God's promises. Peace is found on focusing on God's promises. For instance, God has promised Abraham and told him that he will be a father of a big nation. Until he was in his 90s, he did not have the promised child. He had another one, but this was not promised by God. That's why God didn't even consider him. And at age 99, God appeared to him and told him that you are about to be a father. Deep down in his heart, he was not sure if this was correct. But definitely his wife laughed. Said, you know, I'm 90, my husband is 99. According to the human mentality and to the human physiology, it's over. But when God promises, He fulfills. He does not forget. Even if we forget, God does not forget. So focusing on God's promises grants peace. By a small comparison, Saint Mary had in her heart to be a virgin and live her virginity for Christ, for God, for the Lord of Israel. But the angel announced to her and told her that you are going to be a mother and still you're going to be a virgin. She asked the question, how? According to the human mentality, it does not work. What you are saying, angel, does not fulfill or satisfy the human mind. How can I be both a mother and a virgin? How? So it's okay, by the way, to ask questions, but it's not okay to interrogate God. You can ask questions to receive answers, but we are not in a position to interrogate God or to argue with God. Saint Mary asked a question. The angel answered her, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when she received the answer, she said, okay, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. I trust in His promise. A third point, and that is, obedience to God leads to peace. Obedience to God leads to peace. We also see that in the life of Saint Mary, there was not only obedience, but submission. There was not only obedience, but submission. And because of her obedience, and because of her respect to the promises of the Lord, she had peace. And when she was granted this peace, God fulfilled her needs and her promises. Now the question is how to experience God's peace, which is a common question. How can I get peace? How can I experience it? Where do I get it from? Of course, we all have worries on the jobs and at home, at school. No one can deny that. But St. Paul advises us in return and says that turn your worries into prayers. If you are worrying and you have a problem at hand, what does your anger solve? Nothing. It adds to the agony. It adds to the frustration. And what did you receive? Nothing. Empty-handed. But when you turn into prayers, the situation might not change instantly, might not change within a week or a month, but at least I am going through it with the peace of God in my mind and heart. So I'm accepting things till God appoints the right time, and then He will solve it. But to be frustrated and to increase your worries by your anger, you're hurting yourself mentally, physically, and your health is deteriorating. Plus, your spirituality is gone. Worrying does not bring peace. It just separates you more from God. And by the way, God said, be concerned, but don't worry. It is okay to be concerned. It's part of our life, part of our planning. I have to plan for tomorrow. But I do not worry about tomorrow. I plan, and I'm concerned about certain situations, but I don't worry about it. I have a limited thought, and I have a limited mind, and I have a limited ability. Worrying will not solve it, but praying will. At least it will let you go through it in a much easier and much calmer way. What does peace with God means? Now this is, we are getting to the practicality now. First of all, it means to reconcile with Him. When we are not at peace with God, we are not reconciling with Him. That's why the first prayer in the anaphora, in the liturgy, it is the reconciliation prayer. First, we have to reconcile with God, and then reconcile with people so that we can have peace. And without that, we cannot live in peace. And our heart and mind and soul and spirit are troubled. They don't have God's peace, so they are troubled. So we have to reconcile with God. We have to reconcile with God. Of course, it's hard work to keep and maintain peace. King David explained that we are to work hard at living in peace with everyone. It's not easy, especially when it comes to love your enemies. That's the top. That's the top, that's the peak of the peace, and that's the peak of love. Let's leave this on the side now, and let's talk about the practical part of how to maintain peace. St. Paul in Romans 12:18 says, do not quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Then who decides as much as possible? Some people are short-fused. Others are long-suffering. Who decides the as much as possible? Some people can go a mile. Others can go 5 miles. Others can go a few feet. And they say, hey, I have done much. I cannot go more than that. The guide in this is your confession father. The guide in this is your confession father, because he knows your spiritual ability, and he knows how to guide you, and he knows when to tell you, stop it there. You cannot continue beyond this point. You have done enough. So your spirituality is decided by Abuna to tell you how much or how possible you can go in order to maintain that peace with others. Now the seventh point, and that is maintaining peace in a practical way to receive the reconciliation with God. And in this one, I subdivided it into a very simple way. And I hope that we all memorize this part. This practical part in maintaining peace by reconciling with God, subdivided it into A, B, C, D, E, F. You know your alphabets? From A to F, I know it goes to Z, but we're going to stop till F. A, B, C, D, E, F. A stands for Amen, meaning prayer. When we pray, we talk, God listens. So that's the first step in maintaining a relationship, a dialogue. Dialogue, dia means two. So I talk, he listens, and when he talks, I listen. Then we have a relationship, we have a communication. So A stands for Amen, meaning prayer. B stands for reading the Bible. This is when God talks and we listen. And we have to read the Bible daily. And you know what? I have something very interesting for you. One chapter a day keeps the devil away. You want to keep the devil away? Read one chapter a day. Remember in the years past, in the last century, when they used to tell us, if you want to keep the doctor away, you have to eat one apple a day? No, this time we're going to say one chapter a day keeps the devil away. Easy? So A stands for Amen, meaning prayer. We talk, God listens. B stands for the Bible, reading the Bible on a daily basis. Reading the Bible on a daily basis. C stands for confession and contribution. Confession and contribution. Confession is important, as mentioned in St. James chapter 5, that we have to confess in order to release this burden. And when we confess, like His Holiness Pope Shenouda said, we get a solution for our problems and an absolution from our sins. You get two for the price of one. You get a solution for your problems and an absolution from your sins. That's confession. James chapter 5. For the contribution is important. God is not looking for your dollar, but God is looking for, do you want to share the good that He has given you with others? That's what contribution is. God wants your contribution in your health. God wants your contribution in your time. God wants your contribution in your money. He wants to be part of everything in you. Health, time, money. And in all this, I'm going to give you a nice formula. 10 minus 1 equals 11. But this formula is good in church. You do it outside, you get an F. 10 minus 1 equals 11 because it is a blessing. God never takes from you. Remember when Peter told him, okay, Lord, we have left everything for you. He looked at him and he said, what did you leave? What did you leave? You left your wife? You left your home? No one leaves anything for God's sake and for the kingdom except God rewards him in return 100-fold. You think that you are giving me $1 out of every 10? You're going to have 11. God does not like to be indebted to others. He likes always to give because He's generous. He's the source of giving. How can He take from us if we are taking from Him? Who gave us the health? Who gave us the work? Who gave us the knowledge? Who gave us the position we are in? Do you think after all this that God has granted us, He wants anything from us? He just wants to see, this is how much I gave you. How much are you going to give me? Not for Him, but for the needy and for the church's need. That's what He's looking for. In other words, are you thankful enough to give something back? Or are we becoming stingy and greedy when it comes to God? It's okay to go outside and spend so much for sometimes silly things. But when it comes to the house of God, we start questioning, and we get the calculator and see how much we're going to divide and multiply, and we come to the nitty-gritty penny and find out, no, this is too much. Well, if God has given you that much, you have to give that much. So when God is asking for his contribution, he's not asking it to hurt you, he's asking you to bless you. And remember, 10 minus 1 equals 11. It will never be 9, it will always be a plus. So A stands for what? Huh? A stands for Amen, meaning prayer, and prayer means? Hands up, huh? Dialogue, yes. We talk, God listens. B stands for what? Bible. What does Bible mean? What do I do with the Bible every day? Wahda bin nizam. عشان ابونا ما يقولش ابونا جه بتاع كاليفورنيا ده اتلخبط النظام. What do we say about the Bible now? Huh? Yeah, reading the Bible meaning that we listen to God, مش كده؟ And the other thing is, very good. C. Confession. What does confession mean, Habibi? Yes, you. You get a solution and absolution. Very good, girl. Okay, that's confession. What's the next thing about C? I almost said it. Contribution. What does contribution mean? Contribution is a blessing, okay? And what else? We are giving, sharing with others, right? D. D stands for defending the faith. When we read the Bible, we don't only understand it, but we have to memorize verses. When we memorize verses, we can give answers for those who are asking us for the hope in us. Right, for instance, why are you fasting? What are you going to say? I'm going to give you Abuna's phone number so he can answer. Why do we go to the liturgy? Why is it so long? Oh, I don't know. My parents have been picking my hands up, you know, picking me up every day for the last 20 years. Now I'm grown up and maybe I can sneak out and maybe I cannot attend from the beginning. Maybe I will attend just before communion. Now you have to have an answer. There is an answer for everything in the church, by the way. Nothing is done haphazardly. Nothing is done hastily. It is done biblically. There is a reason for fasting. There is a reason for the liturgy. There is a reason for acting as a Christian and not mingling with the world. There is an answer for all this. What are we going to say if someone puts us on the spot and he asks us a question? We're going to look so bad. Someone asks us, how come you're fasting for St. Mary? Do we fast for St. Mary? We are fasting for God, but honoring St. Mary. That's the difference. And that's how the Protestants will hit you. See, you're fasting for St. Mary. And some people say, yeah, what's wrong with that? Said, see, you're fasting for a human, although she is a saint. And if you don't have an answer, you look bad, and sometimes they will throw doubts in your mind. So you have to, when you read the Bible, you have to understand it. You have to memorize verses so that you can give answers for those who are asking questions. So D is for defending the faith. E is for eternal life. God said, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given unto you. You know our problem is what? We ask everything first and we leave the kingdom of God as the last supplication. Maybe we don't even mention it. And that's why sometimes we keep on questioning, how come God is not granting me what I'm asking for? Because I'm asking in the wrong order. God said, seek first the kingdom, and then everything else will be given. But we just say, forget the kingdom. I want this now. Okay, keep on asking. Let's see who's going to give it to you. Sometimes you want things to go our way. But God said, you know, there is a system. Seek the kingdom, and then seek the things on the earth. But when we flip things around, that's when we go into friction with the will of God, and that's when we start the arguments. And guess what? We lose. We lose. Isn't this what happens when you try to flip the traffic laws? When you see a red, and you just say, I'm going to sneak it. And maybe you can sneak it, and the minute you start seeing this red and blue lights behind you, you know that you have committed a violation. Or if you are tailgating, or if you are changing without the signals, etc., or speeding. When you are in violation, the government doesn't like it. We are in violation with God's will when we ask for the earthly without seeking the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. So in your prayers, we start by seeking the kingdom of God. Very simple verse to remember. Do you remember the thief that was crucified beside Christ when he said, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom? So that's what we say. After we pray our Agbeya hours, we just start by saying, you know, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And I ask you, Jesus, please to take care of A, B, C, D, E, F. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be granted unto you. So E is eternal life. Plus eternal life, kingdom of God, is the place which we are going to spend eternity. How come we don't mention it? You don't want to know anything about it? You don't want to mention it? So we have to mention it, because that's our eternal place. So D stands for defending the faith, memorizing verses, so to give answers for questions that we are going to face. And E, it stands for eternal life. And we remember this in our prayers by saying, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. F stands for forgiveness and fasting. Forgiveness is the gift of Christianity. Forgiveness is the gift of Christianity. In Matthew 6, when God have taught his disciples and the people how to pray the Lord's Prayer, the only thing that he commented on in all the supplications in the Lord's Prayer was, for if you forgive others, God will forgive you. Forgiveness is the gift of Christianity. Look about the Lord Jesus and what he did for us. He just came and he said, you know, if I look at your lives and what you have done, you know what? You're going to lose. You're going to get a big fat F. You know the best way to do? I will forgive you, and I'm going to turn the page, and we're going to start new. Everybody is forgiven. We'll start new. I'm going to pay the debts. You are going to be free, and you're going to be as good as new. That's what Christianity is. So if we do not forgive, we are denying what God has done for us. If he forgave us, why is it hard for us to forgive each other? Why is it hard to forgive? It's easy for him to forgive us. And sometimes we don't request it, we demand it. But when it comes to others, we put a lot of obstacles. And I have something very interesting, and it might be also dangerous. In the Lord's Prayer, in the request of the forgiveness, what did he say? Forgive us, our trespasses as. You know that the most dangerous word in the whole prayer of the Lord's Prayer is the word as? You know why? Because you are putting a condition on yourself. Forgive me in the same manner that I forgive others. Hell? Now let us see, how do you forgive others? Oh, I'm going to forgive you, but I don't want to talk with you. I'm going to forgive you, but I don't want to see your face. I'm going to forgive you, but you don't come to me and don't ask me any more favors. I'm going to forgive you, and on occasions and seasonally, I'm going to say hello. But I don't want to deal with you. Isn't this basically what we say in general when we want to forgive others? Now let's go back to the prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. You want God to forgive you in this manner like you forgive others? That's going to be terrible. Imagine if God tells you through Abuna, Taban Abuna is not going to say it, but we're just for the sake of discussion. I'm going to forgive you, but I don't come to my house again. Can we live this way? Can we live without coming to the house of God? And yet still his house is open for us. But when it comes to others, hey, I'm going to forgive you, but don't come to my house. I don't want to see your face again. It's a very critical word, and you have to pay an attention to it. Forgive us as we forgive. You better sit and assort your actions and look in the past and find out, how did you forgive others? Because you have put a condition on yourself to God. Forgive me the same way I forgive people. This is so, I don't want to say bad, but this is so dangerous. Sit and assort your thoughts again. Make sure that you are in the criteria of Christianity, on the same page with Jesus, in the same manner that he forgives. So forgiveness is the gift of Christianity. Second part of F is fasting. Fasting also is one of the essentials or the basics of Christianity, because originally we were created vegetarians. How many know that? How many knew that we were vegetarians originally? One, two, three, four. Okay. Originally we were created vegetarian because in Genesis chapter 1, God says that, and God has given every herb and every tree producing fruit as food for man. No meat was introduced then. First time meat was introduced was in Genesis 9 during Noah's flood. And of course you know why, because when the water came, it ruined the vegetation. So no matter how much they took with them in the ark, they didn't have any refrigeration, so it might have lasted a day or two at the most. And after this it would rotten. So God told him or taught him how to eat meat to survive during this hard time. And he told him, you take two of every kind of animals and birds. But when it came to the clean animals and the clean birds, he told him to take seven of each. And Noah wondered and said, why? He said, two you're going to leave aside for procreation. He said, okay, we agree on that. What am I going to do with the five? He said, you're going to offer sacrifices for me, and the rest you're going to eat. And then he said, eat? How? He said, I'm going to give you the recipe. You slaughter it, skin it, don't eat it with its blood, put it on the fire, and then you can eat it. Wasn't this the first barbecue recipe from heaven? Think about it. Isn't this what it is? Slaughter it, skin it, season it, and put it on the fire. Isn't this the barbecue? Don't you do this sometimes? When you have your barbecue? So God has given the first barbecue recipe to man through Noah. So meat was introduced then. But after this, God started bringing back the good memories of fasting in order to become vegetarian. God, every time through the church, when he says there is a fasting, he's inviting us to our original status before sinning, being vegetarian. So it's an invitation to reach or to relive our original status. Fasting is important. Fasting also, God has given Ezekiel the fasting food which we are supposed to eat. That's where we got our fasting food. Some people ask, you know, where did we get this? Is it man-made? No, it is God-made. Ezekiel 4:9. He has given him all the food that we are supposed to eat and which we are eating now in our fasting. So it's God-given. And number three about fasting is Isaiah 58 gives us the goal for fasting. So fasting is very essential. So A stands for amen, meaning prayer. B for reading the Bible. C for contribution and confession. D for defending the faith. E for eternal life and seeking it first. And F for forgiveness and fasting. Who can tell me the first three? Okay, let's start on this side. Yes, sir. Speak up. I can't hear you. I'm an old guy, so you have to speak up a little louder. أيوة شايفة بنتي حلوة صوتها حلو إزاي؟ صوتك يبقى عادي كده. Yes. Thank you. Who can tell me from the girls the last three? Taban, girls can be up to 99, so feel free to, anyone can answer. Who can tell me the D, you said ABC, so we need a DEF. Who can tell me the DEF? Girls. D is for defending the faith. There you go. How can I defend my faith? Get a sword and a couple of boxing gloves. How do I defend my faith? You can give answers. Very good. D. What about E? Yes.
Huh? Eternal life.
Eternal life. And how do I remember that in my prayers? Remember the thief beside Christ? What did he say? Huh? Someone else? Okay, go ahead.
Remember me, oh God.
When you come.
Like,
when you come kingdom. To your kingdom. Yeah. Okay. That's the E. What about the F? There are two sections in the F. Yeah. Back there. Okay. Tell me something about forgiveness. Okay. And what about fasting? We have three, four things there.
We fast for God by honoring St. Mary.
That's for St. Mary's fast. Yeah, but what did the Bible tell us about fasting? Tell me more about what did Genesis chapter 1 say about fasting? Or what about the origin of man?
We were vegetarians.
Vegetarians,
first, so
okay. When was meat introduced into the menu of man?
During the flood.
During the flood,
yeah.
Genesis 9. Okay, and how did God bring us back? Yes.
By fasting.
Eh?
By fasting. By fasting.
By fasting, yes. He have put several fasting in the church, and that's how he brought us back to our originality. Good. And where do we find the recipe for the fasting food in the Bible? Where is it mentioned? Did me and Abuna sit in the afternoon and we put it for you guys to make it hard on you? Ezekiel 4:9. There you go. And where do we find the goal for fasting? Chapter 58 is right, but not Ezekiel. Isaiah. Type. One last request, and then we finish. Who can tell me all six? Someone who can say all six, and we can conclude. Yes. Allah Siddir Khali'ur.
A is for Amen. B is for Bible. C is for confession. Contribution. D is for defending the faith. E is for eternal life. And F is for fasting and forgiveness.
Thank you very much. And glory be to God forever. Amen.